The emergency closures due to the natural disasters on Kauai and the Big Island have thrust our charter schools in uncharted territory. We talked to Sione Thompson, the head of the Charter School Commission, about how the schools and their boards have been sent scrambling to deal with the reshuffling during this very busy time of the end of the school year.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. For lack of better terminology, there's a lot of scrambling going on. And first and foremost, I want to, you know, have to commend the amazing independent governing boards and all of the school leaders for being so reactive in such a short amount of time to take care of the health and safety of their communities. Unlike, you know, our counterparts, there are fewer resources available to the independently governed charter schools. So, you know, we see everything from their suspension of school and time, and they're reaching out to families in order to best serve them, their educational needs, sometimes sending students home with packets, everything from that to relocation. And so we're dealing with everything in between.
And so what's the number of charter schools that are affected at this point between the Kauai floods and the Hilo lava evacuations?
You know, that's a great question. There are probably more than we understand at the moment right now, and hence we sent out a letter last week Friday asking our schools to kind of do an inventory based upon what has happened and send that to us. But I'm only going to make an assumption of, you know, at least a dozen schools affected from Kauai to the east side of Hawaii Island. Information is still coming in as we progress along these next couple of weeks. So everything from Lapa-Hoihoi all the way down to Volcano on the east side of Hawaii and a few schools on Kauai. We have four, and we're taking a look at how they're being adversely affected by the outcome of those the flooding and the rains.
Right, and I know that you know, there have been accommodations that have been made to have classroom space for, I think it's on Kauai, for the schools there. But what about long term? I mean, if schools can't get back into their facilities, you know, and I'm sure they're, you know, paying rent. You know, what happens if this kind of drags on?
I think we're gonna, you know, attack this in a three phase. Looking right now at the within the next 30 days in the short term of how we can establish and reassure routines for these students, for our families. You know, there's only 2 to 3 weeks remaining in school, and see what kind of contingency plans. So that's our short term assessment, and then we'll attack this as our midterm. And those are looking at stabilizing. What schools will have to continue to relocate if they don't have access, what schools will be able to provide educational blended type learning. So we're looking at that midterm. And then, you know, obviously, we've already been getting reports of families leaving the area and moving out. And the way that the funding structure works for charter schools is it's on a per pupil basis. So that'll significantly impact their budgets and how they'll be able to stabilize and continue to pay rent, pay the faculty, pay staff, and all of those other things. So that'll lead us into the long term, addressing how we can not just stabilize but sustain, and then look at long term goals and plans if this continues.
Gosh, I hadn't thought of that, about the number of students that could be impacted if the families move out of the area.
Right, and that would significantly impact the school's budget. So we're trying to see what kind of relief funds we would be able to prioritize us as charters, and see if there could be a stabilization process over the next year as our funding mechanism starts to come in as early as July for the 18-19 school year.
Do you think there might be a need to put in an ask at the legislature in January if things are drawn out?
I do foresee that process, and that's why we really are trying to get a hold of what's going on, what are the costs, what are the impacts that have been occurring now, because I do foresee that we will have to get some legislative support. I do foresee that we'll be working closely with the governor's office to see if there's anything in with budget and finance, emergency or disaster relief funding or resources that can be provided in the short term, midterm, and long term, as you stated.
Is there a policy in place to deal with unforeseen circumstances like this? I mean, I don't know if the DOE, you know, could, let's say, temporarily house a charter school on property, if that's even been thought about.
There are mechanisms in place where the state does provide relief resources and funds. It's in terms of the Department of Education, they have been extremely supportive. They have been in contact with many of our schools. The complex area superintendents have been amazing in understanding what's going on and how to best support. We don't have any plans in the immediacy to move on to a department property, but those conversations obviously will be had in the next up and coming couple of weeks if that is a viable option.
Yes, the DOE did tell us that the complex area superintendents, I think, in Pahoa and on Kauai,
right,
did reach out to help the charter schools in their
absolutely
area.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes. They've been wonderful.
So the main thing is getting a clear picture of the schools affected and the short-term and the long-term impacts.
Yes, exactly.
Hawaii has some 36 charter schools in place now, servicing 11,000 students across the state. The Charter School Commission will meet next Thursday to talk about some of these issues. I'm Catherine Cruz, and you're listening to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio.